You're listening to ESL Podcasts English Cafe, number 268. This is English as a Second Language Podcasts, English Cafe, episode 268. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff McQuillan, coming to you from the Center for Educational Development in beautiful Los Angeles, California. Visit our website at eslpod.com. Download a learning guide for this episode that contains all of the vocabulary, definitions, sample sentences, additional definitions, comprehension questions, cultural notes, and a complete transcript of this episode. The learning guide will help you improve your English even faster and help you lose weight. Yes, it will. On this cafe, we're going to continue our series on famous American authors, writers, focusing on a very popular modern writer, Stephen King. Then we're going to talk about traffic school, ways for people in the United States to learn how to become better drivers, and more importantly, to help them once they have broken the driving laws. And as always, we'll answer a few of your questions. Let's get started. This cafe begins with a continuation of our series on famous American authors. Today, we are going to talk about Stephen King, who writes horror novels. Horror, H-O-R-R-O-R, is one genre, one type of writing, just like romance and mystery are genres. We use the French word. G-E-N-R-E. Horror novels are designed to scare the reader, and that's exactly what Stephen King's novels do. They make you frightened. Stephen King was born in 1947 in Portland, Maine. Maine is in the very northeast corner of the United States, with the border on its north of Canada. It is on the Atlantic Ocean, a beautiful state. King, as a young boy, enjoyed reading horror comics or little books that have drawings as well as words. He began writing horror stories, and the first one he wrote was published when he was just 18 years old. He studied English at college and planned to teach high school English, but he wasn't able to find a teaching job right away. Maybe he scared the people who were going to hire him. So instead, he wrote short stories and sold them to magazines to make money for himself and his family. And that's how he started in his career as a writer. His first full novel, his first writing that wasn't just a short story, but was a complete novel, was accepted for publication in 1973, meaning King was at this time only 26 years old. It was called Carrie, and it's about a teenage girl named Carrie who has psychic powers. the word psychic, P-S-Y-C-H-I-C, it comes from a Greek word, refers to things that are done with the human mind, I should say supposedly done with the human mind, that cannot be explained by science. Psychic powers have been used, or people have said they have been used, to read what other people are thinking. That is, to see and know what someone else is thinking. Some people believe that psychic powers can help them see the future, see what will happen in the future, or even make things move, like a cup on the table. Some people believe that psychic powers can help you move objects. I say some people in the way that we might say some people believe dogs can talk. Probably there are some people like that. My wife actually says I am the opposite of being psychic. I don't know what that would be called. Anti-psychic, non-psychic, perhaps, since I can never tell what she is thinking, so I must be the anti-psychic. Anyway, Carrie, this novel by Stephen King, is about a girl who is often teased by her classmates, meaning the boys and girls she goes to school with make fun of her. To tease is to make fun of someone. They tease her when they find out she has psychic powers. Well, she uses these powers for revenge. Revenge, R-E-V-E-N-G-E, is a way of fighting back, of getting back at, we would say, her classmates. If someone does something bad to you, you may want to get revenge. You want to do something bad to them. That is, unfortunately, part of our natural human reaction sometimes. Well, Carrie uses her psychic powers to hurt her classmates because they have hurt her in many ways. Stephen King writes novels like this, scary novels, novels that are very frightening. Many of his novels have become movies, including his first novel, Carrie. In total, Stephen King has written 49 novels since 1972. I think he has a new one even. It might be 50. That's in the last 38 years. So he's written almost 50 novels in 38 years, or more than one novel a year, which is 49 more than I have written. Two other famous novels you may have heard of are The Shining and It. The Shining is about a hotel that is evil, that is very bad. And the powers in this hotel try to control people who are staying there. It was made, this novel, into a movie, very famous movie with the great actor Jack Nicholson. The other novel, It, is about a person who becomes a monster, who can change appearances to become whatever people, and especially children, are most afraid of. So if you're most afraid of, I don't know, dogs or cats, it will turn into the shape or the appearance of a dog or cat. Most of the time in the novel, this person looks like a clown. A clown is someone who dresses up in very brightly colored clothes. Normally a clown has big shoes, lots of hair, and a big red nose. Clowns try to make people laugh, especially children, at circuses and fairs. But some people, I guess, are afraid of clowns. So in the novel, one of the things that this monster looks like often is a clown. Stephen King also wrote a series of books called The Dark Tower. A series is a group of related things that come in a particular order, first, second, third, and so forth. A television series refers to a program that has different episodes that come in a certain order. A series of books would be books that are related to each other, that you start with book one and you continue on to the next and then the next. There are many series of books like this, the Harry Potter series, for example. The Dark Tower combines the horror genre, in other words, it tries to scare people, with the Western genre. Westerns are books about the American West, especially in the 19th century. The Dark Tower is about a man who is looking for a tower that is supposed to be the center of the universe. A tower is a tall, like a building, that you climb on top of, climb up, either to see a long distance, or perhaps to defend yourself, like in a war. Tower can also just be a very tall building. In New York, the World Trade Center that was attacked on 9/11 was called the Twin Towers. There were two large buildings. There are seven books in the Dark Tower series written over 27 years. In other words, from the first one to the seventh one, there were 27 years that passed. In 2009, Stephen King announced he was working on an eighth book in that series. So it isn't finished yet. As I mentioned, many of Stephen King's books have been made into movies, including the novels I mentioned earlier. The Dark Tower, however, has not. The movies that have been made generally follow the books pretty closely, meaning that the story in the movie is pretty close to the story in the book, but not always. Honestly, it's hard to say whether it is scarier to read Stephen King's novels or watch his movies. I myself am not a big fan of horror books, horror novels, and horror movies. I don't really like them very much. I think life is scary enough. But many people love Stephen King. He is a very good storyteller. Not all of his novels, or at least not all of his stories, have been horror stories. He wrote a story called The Body, which was made into a movie called Stand By Me, way back in 1986. It was not a horror movie. It was actually a very good movie about boys growing up, maturing, becoming men, or at least trying to. Stephen King has received many awards for his work. In 2003, he received a Lifetime Achievement Award from the National Book Awards in the United States. A Lifetime Achievement Award recognizes someone who has made important contributions, has done great things in a particular area over his or her entire lifetime. It isn't just for one book or one thing that the person did. This is an award that some organizations give to people who perhaps have not won award for their individual work. Some people were not happy that the National Book Awards gave him a Lifetime Achievement Award. King is a very popular novelist, but he's not considered a great literary writer. He's not considered one of the best writers in English, for example. Some people think the awards should only go to those who have more literary style versus someone like King, who is very popular and makes a lot of money. King's work has been very important in American culture in the last 30, 40 years. And if you haven't read one of his novels, you might give it a try. Now let's turn to our next topic, which is traffic school. Traffic normally refers to the number of cars on the road. Here in Los Angeles, for example, there is always a lot of traffic on the freeway, meaning there are lots of cars on the highway, on the freeway. Traffic is bad, especially in the morning when people are going to work, what we call rush hour, and in the evening when people are coming back home from work, which is also another rush hour. Traffic school is a program that is supposed to help people become better, safer drivers after they have done something wrong, after they have broken a driving law. Don't confuse traffic school with driver's ed or driver's education. Driver's education is a course you take before you get your driving license to teach you how to drive. In many states, you are required to take a class, especially if you are under the age of 18. Traffic school is different because it's designed for people who already have a driver's license but broke the law. Maybe they were speeding, for example. Speeding is when you are going faster than you are supposed to. Or perhaps they ran a red light. To run a red light means that you go through an intersection where two streets cross, even though the light says stop. Many states in the United States have what's called a point system for traffic violations when you break the law. Each time you break the law and get caught, of course, you are given a certain number of points that is based on how serious the violation was. Once you have a certain number of points, if you keep violating the law, keep getting what we call traffic tickets, which are punishments, fines, you can lose your driver's license, meaning the state will take away your driver's license completely. The number of points you have for traffic violations also affects how much you pay for auto insurance or car insurance. Insurance companies will charge you more money if you have traffic violations because you are considered an unsafe or dangerous driver. What happens when you get a ticket for, let's say, speeding, is that the government will send you a letter telling you that you need to pay a certain amount of money, or the police officer will give you that information. It also gives you the opportunity to have that point removed from your driving record. The way you do that is by agreeing to go to traffic school. When you go to traffic school, you have to pay money for the school in addition to the money you pay for the government. However, people do it because it will keep their car insurance lower, the amount they have to pay lower. It also removes that violation point from your driving record, the official record or report of how many violations you have. In most states, you need to go to a traffic school for 8 hours or the equivalent. This means that sometimes you go to an actual school, usually on a Saturday or a Sunday, and you have to sit in class for 8 hours and take a test often, and then you're done. You can also take, in some states, a course by correspondence. A correspondence course is when you don't go anywhere to a class. They send you a book or they send you a DVD, and you have to take a test after reading the book or watching the DVD. Or you can do it online over the internet. Internet courses are now very common. When I had a traffic violation, and yes, I have broken the law, I got a ticket, that is, I was penalized, I was punished for driving too fast, for speeding. Not that much faster, really. I mean, I think the speed limit was 35 miles an hour, and I was driving 40 miles an hour, maybe 45, okay, no more than 50 miles an hour. Anyway, I did not go to traffic school. I did not go on the internet. I found the easiest way was to take a correspondence course where they sent me the book and they sent me the test. I took out the test. I answered all the questions I knew without looking at the book. Then I went into the book and I found the sections, the places where the answers for the other questions were, and I completed the test. It took me maybe an hour and a half instead of 8 hours. So if you're ever in California and you live here and you want to go to traffic school but you don't want to spend 8 hours, you can take a correspondence course. Traffic schools are private businesses. The government does not run the traffic schools. They just approve the traffic schools. You have to fill out an application. You have to send documents to the government to prove that you have a real school, a real traffic school. There are many different kinds of traffic schools. They have comedy traffic schools that try to make the presentation as funny as possible. The instructors, the teachers, tell jokes while they are teaching about driver safety. A friend of mine went to one of these and said it wasn't very funny. Now let's answer a few of your questions. Our first question comes from Mehrdad, M-E-H-R-D-A-D, in Iran. The question has to do with three words, cost, charge, and fee. All three of these words can refer to the price that you pay for something, how much money you pay, but there are differences in how they are used. Cost, C-O-S-T, is the amount of money you pay, but it could also be other things, such as your time or your energy. You can ask, what is the cost of this coat? How much money do I need to pay to buy it? Cost could refer to time. This job costs me a lot of time on the weekends. I have to spend a lot of time on the weekends. Notice we use the verb to spend for some things other than money, especially time. So cost can be the price, but the price isn't always in money. Cost can be a noun or a verb. Charge is also used to indicate the price that you pay for something. Usually, the word charge is used for example, going to a museum or going to a school. How much does the school charge for its tuition? How much does the museum charge in order to go inside to get admission to the museum? Charge can be a verb as well as a noun. The charge is $5. We often use this verb when we are talking about using our credit cards. I'm going to charge this purchase. I'm going to use my credit card to pay for it. Fee is only a noun, it cannot be a verb, means the price you pay, just like charge, but often for specific kinds of things. Education, for example. I mentioned how much a school charges, but we could also say, how much are their fees? We use the word fee to indicate the price of professional services as well. Going to a lawyer or going to an accountant, we talk about their fees. We could talk about doctor's fees, how much your doctor charges you, how much money you have to pay for his or her services. To review, cost and charge are verbs and nouns. Fee is just a noun. Cost refers to the price you pay for something, but it could be something other than money that you are using to pay that price. Charge is used, for example, at stores or at museums to indicate the price you are paying for something. Fee is specifically used for certain professional services. Also, many government services have a fee. If you want to go and use one of our national parks, you sometimes have to pay a fee. That's the amount of money you have to pay to get into the park. Our next question comes from Isabel, I-S-A-B-E-L, in Spain. Isabel wants to know the meaning of an expression she read, in a New York minute. The phrase, in a New York minute, means in a very short amount of time, very quickly, the shortest amount of time you can imagine. Why do we say a New York minute? Well, many people believe that people who live in New York City are always in a hurry, always running, are very impatient, want things to happen right away. So that is the idea of something happening quickly. Finally, Bahador, B-A-H-A-D-O-R, also in Iran, wants to know how we use the word or the phrase a couple. A couple refers to two. It could be more, however. There are a couple of people here for the party. That could be two, it could be three, it could be five. It depends on the situation. It's a little confusing because sometimes couple means only two. For example, the couple is getting married this fall. We're talking about two people only, at least in the United States. But we also use it to mean a small number. Can I have a couple of French fries? You don't mean necessarily two. It could be three. It could be 10. Hopefully, it doesn't mean 50. You could say, my friend lives a couple of miles from here. Again, we're not certain exactly the number, but we mean not too far. Sometimes people use this expression when they don't want to tell someone the specific number. How many beers did you drink? Oh, a couple. In written English, a couple is normally followed by the preposition of. How long will it take to get there? A couple of hours. But in informal spoken English, sometimes the of is dropped, is eliminated, or is pronounced more like an I need a couple of dollars to go to the movie. Or I need a couple minutes to get dressed. There you hear either an or nothing at all between the word couple and the unit that you are talking about, hours, minutes, miles, etc. In written English, however, it's always best, safest, so that people understand you, to put an of after the word couple. If you have a couple of questions that you want to ask us, you can email us. There's no charge. Our email is eslpod@eslpod.com. We can't promise we'll answer in a New York minute, but we'll try to answer as quickly as we can here on the cafe. From Los Angeles, California, I'm Jeff McQuillan. Thank you for listening. Come back and listen to us again, won't you, on The English Cafe. ESL Podcast English Cafe is written and produced by Dr. Jeff McQuillan and Dr. Lucy Say. Copyright 2010 by the Center for Educational Development.